Thank you for joining this afternoon's program of At the Root of It. This is Aaron Fitzpatrick broadcasting on the Heritage Radio Network, where you can listen to today's program live and all previous programs via podcast or in our archives at www.heritageradionetwork.com. And before we begin, a thank you to our sponsor, The Barter House. The Barter House is a proud supporter of the Heritage Radio Network. The Barter House works with family vineyards and small bottlers from around the world to bring only the finest and most flavorful wines to market. To learn more about The Barter House, please visit them on the web at www.thebarterhouse.com or call them at 917-463-3076. And today is the 4th of May. I begin the show with the Week in Wine recap. In latest news, former Mondavi CEO Michael Mondavi has admitted that a large number of non-profitable California wineries will change hands under duress this year, reports Decanter.com. Speaking at the Fine Wine 2010 conference in Ribera del Duero, Spain, Mondavi told Decanter.com that he had seen several prestigious Napa wineries drop the price of their entire reserve range from $170 to $100, and goes on further to say that the dramatic discounting damages brand integrity and the wines will very likely not be able to sell at their original prices in the future. And in the Crop Report, a group of wineries and growers in Oregon who are concerned about climate change and the environmental impact it will have on their vineyards and beyond have banded together to try to reduce their carbon footprint. Now, nearly 3 years after they started, 14 of them, representing about 20% of the state's wine production, have completed the Carbon Neutral Challenge, a project to measure and cut greenhouse gases emitted by farming vineyards, producing wines, and selling them globally. As Wine Spectator reports, this is the largest group of U.S. wineries to go forward in a voluntary program together to offset their environmental impact. In the challenge's first step, participating wineries and vineyards assess their greenhouse gas emissions, both direct emissions, such as those produced by company vehicles, and indirect, such as those made while generating electricity the wineries purchase. In the second step, wineries and growers work on reducing emissions and saving on purchased energy, such as using goats and sheep to mow the grass in the vineyards. And in the final step, if participants have emissions they can't eliminate, they balance those out by purchasing offsets. The program has made the wineries aware that there is still much to learn about tracking emissions in the wine industry, and they'd like to require independent verification as well as study upwards of a dozen issues to establish better practices throughout the industry. So applause to Oregon for forcefully joining in those efforts. And today's show is going to feature an interview I conducted this past week with Alex Goff from Weingut Sahel, who is in town this past week from Austria. He is one of the wineries and winemakers who produce wine within Vienna's city limits. And Vienna is the most populated in terms of wine-growing vineyards in the world, producing wine within city limits. So it's an interesting group that is growing, and he came into town for a series of tours in different cities to introduce Austrian wines to the American public and to further their success. So after this short break, we're going to air the interview that Alex and I had last week. This is Aaron Fitzpatrick from At the Root of It, and I am in the field today with Alex Goff from Weingut Sahel from Vienna, who just arrived from Vienna today to New York. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
So, as I was mentioning before we started recording, it's been on the top list of my priorities to get an Austrian wine grower in after going to a tasting at the Austrian Wine Consulate, or the Austrian Consulate last year, because there's this new portfolio from Darcy and Huber Selections, which caught my attention based on the fact that there were all these wines from Vienna presented, which I had never tried before.
So I just would love for you to speak a little bit about the history of the wine-growing region of Vienna and why it's so unique. So we'll start there.
All right. First of all, I want to introduce myself. So I'm Alex Koff. I'm the winemaker and wine grower of the winery Zahel. Actually, the owner is Richard Zahel. He's my uncle. And we work since 5 years as a very good team together. He's the old part, I'm the new part. He has the experience, I have the good education. And yes, that works very well. Vienna has a very long tradition, especially for the gemischter Satz, for the field blend. We call it in Vienna, Wiener gemischter Satz. That means Viennese, and gemischter Satz means mixed blend in the vineyard. Well, it's so exciting, and because of these different grapes planted completely together in one vineyard, they're grown together and they're harvested and fermented together. It has to be harvested and fermented at least at one day. And the more grapes you plant different, randomly, completely in the vineyard, the more you can increase the complexity and the full-bodied style of the wine. That's so special. And we do it for a long, long time. I think since 2000 years, when the first people of Italy and the Roma came to Vienna, it was a Roma outpost, and since that they're planting wines and for sure gemischte Satz in Vienna. So it's a long history.
So would you attribute the field blend notoriety to Vienna?
Yeah.
As opposed to other wine growing regions?
Yeah, but from that part it was probably not Grüner Veltliner or Riesling. They were more local grapes. And now the main grapes for the gemischte Satz are Grüner Veltliner, Riesling, Chardonnay, but also very old traditional local grapes like Rotgipfler, Zierfandler, and Traminer.
And the field blends, the gemischte Satz, they're all white at the moment, or are you doing red blends as well?
No, in Austria and especially in Vienna, the tradition for gemischte Satz is especially white.
Okay.
Because in the past it was like a social insurance for the wine grower to keep in each year the average amount of grapes. And for the reds, it's more a problem with the tannins in Austria because we are a cool climate country and the different red varieties are too different in ripening times, especially for the tannins.
Okay.
That's the reason why it's more a tradition for whites.
Sure, that makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, Vienna is the only city in the world that has vineyards within its city limits, is that correct?
Yeah, it's correct with that amount of vineyards. We have around 680 hectares in Vienna, and there are still some hectares left where we could increase.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, especially in the south of Vienna where also the winery is located.
And so when you're in the center of the city, from some of the maps that I've seen in the pictures, you can actually see quite close. So how many miles or kilometers would you say?
I would say from the center, from the 4th district, it's around 5-10 kilometers away, so not so far.
Yeah.
But there are 5 different wine zones in Vienna. In the south there are just 2 and 70 hectares. And in the north there are 2 zones where we have 270 and 350 hectares.
Okay. And is this the first time that you are bringing your, is this first year that you're bringing your wines to the United States?
Actually, it's not the first time. In the past, we had some local traders, but it works not very well. And then Darcy Huber came to us and thought it's a good idea to make, to create a portfolio just with Viennese wines.
Yeah.
Because together we are strong, we can make more marketing, we can sell probably better because it's not just one of one region, there are more, they can work together. And that's his opinion, and I think that was a good idea to join this.
Sure.
And well, it's working very good.
And how many people or how many Austrian different wine vineyards are making up the portfolio at this time?
I think it's 7 or 8.
7 or 8, okay.
Yeah.
And then I've read a bit about something called wine or wine.
Wien wine.
Okay, what is that?
Wien Wine is a group established in 2006. From that time, there were 4 wine growers which thought it's a good idea to create a marketing group to increase the image of the Viennese wines and for sure also about of the gemischte Satz. And there are 2 of the south and 2 of north. There are Winery Zahel, Winery Winninger, Winery Edelmoser and Winery Christ. And in this year, brand new, there are 2 more joining to Wien Wine. It's called Winery Kobenzlland Winery Meyer am Fahrplatz. So now we're six at all.
Okay. So what is the initiative or the goals that are set out by this particular group?
Focused on gemischte Saats. We have our own rules mm-hmm. for gemischte Saats. That means we in all of our gemischte Saats of these six wineries, we have to have at least three grapes mixed in one vineyard and not just two.
Okay.
The wines have, for the reserve type, we create two types. The easy drinking type of gemischte Saats and the reserve type. And for the reserve type, the wines have to be older than 20 years, at least.
The vines.
The vines, uh-huh. exactly, in the vineyard. Mm-hmm. And it has to be harvested on one day all together.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the same, on that same day, which you dictate, the day of harvest.
Exactly.
All those white grapes have to be yeah. picked at the same time.
It has to be, yeah.
Wow, that is so interesting.
That's the main, yeah.
So you're setting new quality standards for Viennese wine.
Exactly.
And sharing what those characteristics are
That's
together
right.
as a group.
Exactly. Focused main on gemischte Saats, but Vienna is a very interesting region to grow nearly, I would say, a lot of different grapes because we have very good climate. We're right in the middle of all Austrian wine regions. Mm-hmm. So we're between the Pannonian and the continental climate. That means we can grow white as well as red very good.
Yeah.
That means from Grüner Veltliner through Riesling, Chardonnay up to Pinot Noir and Cabernet Sauvignon.
And do you have, I've read in some other areas of Europe there are initiatives by the government, such as in Bordeaux, in creating a new high-speed train, and in the Mosel region of Germany, a new bridge that would kind of disrupt some of the vineyard lands there. Given that you are so close to the city and the infrastructure, I would imagine a growing population and city would
yes.
have. Do you feel that some of the vineyards are threatened by any sort of growth that the city would have?
Well, I think it was a big problem in the past. So I would say between the 50s and 70s, a lot of hectares decreased because of a lot of people thinking it's better to buy to build a good house mm-hmm. next to the vineyards, for mm-hmm. sure. It's nice to live next close to the vineyards, but now it's not a problem anymore.
Is that based on some of the efforts that the wine growers...
Exactly, yeah. Uh-huh. yeah.
It seems like the Viennese are quite proud of the fact that they do have this wine country
yeah,
within
yeah.
their own city. So I imagine that's something that...
Exactly. Not imagine it's better to save the vineyards and drink good wine.
Yeah. And do you see most Viennese consuming the wine from Vienna within Vienna? Or do you find that a lot of your wines go to export?
It depends because in Vienna it's very traditional to have also the Heurigen restaurants. That's the restaurant where you, from the past, you sell the wine, and many, many years before, you sell the wine and the people bring their own food to this Heurigen restaurant.
Oh.
So it was quite a combination between coming to this restaurant, having fun in the society, drink some good wine.
Mm-hmm.
So now for a lot of people, it's important to sell their own wine to local people at the Heurigen restaurant. And for sure, some bigger wineries, like the wineries of the Wien Wine Group, export a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say probably each of these group member of the Wien Wine Group has an export amount of more than 10%.
Okay.
And that's quite a lot.
And this, I imagine with this growth of the new portfolio, that's going to be growing as well in the next
for sure,
years.
For yeah, sure, yeah,
yeah.
That's one reason, yeah.
yeah.
So I would say the winery itself is the... most exporting winery for gemischte Saats.
Okay.
We export to Japan, we are just won the monopoly tender in Norway, and for sure, America.
And are there more wineries within Vienna who have approached the Vine group to say that they'd want to be a part of it, or is it open to everybody, or is it kind of a careful selection of participating vineyards?
For sure, we're open for everybody,
mm-hmm.
but it's not easy to join us because we have so many rules and it's not easy. At least you have to have more than 1 hectare to join this group.
Okay.
At least more than 10.
Uh-huh.
So you have to have a bigger size.
Okay.
Because then you're more, then you have the amount of bottles of grapes to export. You have to be in restaurants, you have to be in bars.
So have some visibility.
Some visibility, exactly, mm-hmm. with a new brand, to create a brand, mm-hmm. and that's not easy. Mm-hmm. For sure, there are some really good new wineries with sure. young people coming out of Vienna, mm-hmm. but that needs time. And maybe in 5 or 10 or 15 years, we are 10 or 8.
Yeah, okay.
We will see. But we are open for sure, because we want to be strong in Vienna to fight for gemischte Sätze and for our wines.
Mm-hmm. Now, with such the growth of single vineyard wines and very, you know, terroir specific wines that we see, especially from Europe, in your plight to make the general public or wine public aware of gemixter Satz and kind of this field blend idea, for people who ask you how it would compare to something like a single vineyard wine, how would you respond to that? It is very certainly good quality. I've had many of these wines. The price point seems a bit higher than, I'd say, some of the single vineyard wines, perhaps in the same region of Austria. Yeah. So how do you challenge their argument?
That's hard to say, because gemischte Satz is completely different. You mm-hmm. cannot really compare it to a single variety wine. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why it's, for some type, for example, for the reserve type, more expensive, because it's harder to grow these wines together in one vineyard.
Yeah.
But from the easy drinking style, I would say from the classic style, you can compare it for sure to some easy drinking blend or some nice Grüner Veltliner from some other region, for example, from the Wachau region. Mm-hmm. And in the high end level, when it's really full bodied and rich, I would say you can compare it to a rich Riesling, to a rich Veltliner, but it will be always more concentrated than a single variety wine.
Sure, yeah.
I believe in that. Some people don't, but I believe in that, because they grow together and it's like an interaction in the vineyard and mm-hmm. yeah, they ferment together. So.
And are you using natural winemaking or any sort of organic practices
We're close to organic. Mm-hmm. We also have a butterfly on our label, and that shows that we're looking after our nature, mm-hmm. and that's important for us. We spray just 4 times a year. We don't use pesticides. Uh-huh. So it was like a dream of my uncle to bring our butterflies to the vineyards back.
Okay.
And I'm focusing for sure to that.
Mm-hmm. Creating an environment where all these yeah. different living creatures would thrive in.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And what are some of the biggest climactic fears that you have in the vineyard that you need to protect against before you decide when harvest happens? Is it frost?
Not really frost. No? I mean, we have frost, but with winter frost, so mm-hmm. not during the springtime. Mm-hmm. And for us, more a problem could be rain. So when the grapes get riper during the second week of September, and when in that time we got a lot of rain, then we have big problems, especially with the gemischte Satz, because they're different grapes in one vineyard, different ripening times. Mm-hmm. So one grape is riper, one grape gets easier novel rot or rot, green rot, and that's not good for the style of the gemischte Satz, for yeah. the fruitiness. So rain could be a big problem.
Yeah.
And also hail. For example, last year, 2009, we had in end of July a big hail, and nearly 50% of all the vineyards in Vienna was destroyed.
Wow. Yeah. Oh no.
But that happens when you work with nature.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so 2008-09 was less yield, I'd imagine.
But very good winter.
Very good. Okay. And 2008
was also good. Mm-hmm. Higher
cooler.
Yield, cooler,
yeah.
mm-hmm. more rain during the harvesting time, but perfect harvest.
And I was looking back at my notes at one of your wines that I've tried, the Nussberg Grand Reserve from the 07. Can you tell us a little bit about that wine? Because I started, and during my tasting, I'm thinking I liked it quite a bit.
yes, for sure. That's our famous gemischte Satz wine. It's called Nussberg Grand Reserve. Nussberg means the single vineyard. Actually, the single vineyard name is Rose Garden. And Grand Reserve means not oak, it means just the best grape of our oldest gemischte Satz vineyard. So the wines of these vineyards are older than 55 years average, so some could be older than 60, mm-hmm. some are less. Mm-hmm. For sure we're starting replanting. And there are 9 grapes in this vineyard. So Grüner Veltliner, Riesling, Chardonnay, but also Terminer, Neuburger, Rotgipfler, Zierfandler, and so on. And they were all harvested at one day in end of October, so very late harvest. Mm-hmm. For sure, I would say, for example, 50% of these grapes are getting novel rot. So the grapes are very concentrated, all ingredients are concentrated, high sugar level, high acidity. Mm-hmm. It's a very slow fermentation for more than 2 months, and then it's more than half a year lease contact.
Oh, okay.
So it's quite a very full-bodied wine, and I also really like this style of one. Gemischte Satz.
And this is stainless steel, you said?
It's stainless steel, 100%, yeah.
Okay, and have you ever tried going into old barrels just for a different...
I tried fashion? In 08, first time, and I've put it in barriques, uh-huh. but not new, 2 to 6 year old.
Sure.
French oak uh-huh. from Trancé. It's one of the best oak, and it's quite... Real interesting. It's still in the oak, and uh-huh. it's getting better each week. And wait, maybe I will bottle it in end of June.
So did you put just a certain amount of the juice in that as an experiment?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Around 10% of the whole production.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And then you will release that, or that'll be for consumption for the family?
Well, let's see in the future. Probably I will not blend it, but put it together with the stainless steel. Mm-hmm. I will see.
And then for just white varieties in Austria, knowing Grüner Veltliner and Riesling being so dominant in terms of renown, is what other grape varietal do you see really making strides in Vienna?
For sure Grüner Veltliner, mm-hmm. also Riesling, mm-hmm. but what I've told you before, you can grow easily also Sauvignon Blanc, Yellow Muscatella, Chardonnay as a single variety wine, also mixed in a vineyard as a gemischte Satz.
What do you like?
I really like Riesling.
Yeah.
After the gemischte Satz Riesling, it's one of my favorite.
And do you feel like the whole Viennese community also aligns with the rest of Austria in terms of a winemaking region, or is it quite separate?
From the opinions and from
question.
Yeah, it's. You know, Vienna is the capital, so we're all quite different.
Yeah.
And some people think Vienna is arrogant. That's not compared to wine styles, but we're also different because we make gemischte Satz. And somebody says, how can they do that?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good wine.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always different, and that's good for us. That mm-hmm. makes us important and unique, and that's what we like.
Yeah.
For sure, the quality is similar to some other regions, like of the Wachau region or Styria.
Yeah.
But we're different, that makes us unique, and that's, you cannot compare it, I would say.
Right. And then is there the same history with respect to families in terms of winemaking tradition in Vienna?
Yeah, that's similar to some other regions, because
yeah.
we're so close to probably the Terman region of south of Vienna or up north to the wine viertel. Where the Grüner Veltliner comes from mainly, with mm-hmm. the peppery aroma.
Mm-hmm.
So we are now in the 5th generation, so I would be the 5th generation, my uncle the 4th. But he started with the big business.
Okay.
From 1.7 hectare. So in the past there was a long family tradition in each wine region in Austria, but they were quite small. So average size of hectares compared of all wineries in Austria would be 0.5 hectare. That's not really much.
No.
So now you can imagine it was a very fast growing business for some wineries, like similar to my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And when he started, he had just 1.7 hectares, and now we have 27.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And is that where you're capping off, or do you see extra land available?
For sure, always. Always focusing to that, yeah.
And what brings you to the States?
Well, for sure, Carlo asked me each third. 3 or 4 months to come to the United States to for sure represent our wines,
mm-hmm.
and it's good to meet our restaurants, to meet the other traders in
uh-huh.
the other states, and well,
going on a little tour.
Exactly, it's good to do a tour
mm-hmm.
and to be here to sell my wine.
Yeah, and have you seen, and maybe it's too early to see, but with respect to people who've really taken a liking to it from a restaurant standpoint, is it a certain type of restaurant? Is it very varied in terms of lists without necessarily having Germanic or Austrian roots?
I think it's a good combination between Austrian restaurants for sure. They're always the first sometimes, but it's not easy because all Austrian wine growers want to be in this restaurant in New York because it's so famous.
Yeah.
So it's not easy to be there longer than 1 month or 2 months on the wine list. Mm-hmm. But for sure, there are also Asian restaurants because also Gemischtesatz goes very well with the Asian kitchen.
Yeah.
That's very interesting for us. And we know this part also because we export a lot to Japan, Malaysia and so on. And for sure, there are also some steakhouses, for sure, because we also produce red wines.
Yeah.
And
so your vineyard as well produces red.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
And you have a Zweigelt, or are you doing...
We mainly have a local grape Zweigelt and St. Clauens. Uh-huh. It's a cross between Pinot Noir. So the father grape, the mother grape is Pinot Noir. Mm-hmm. And we also have a bit of Cabernet Sauvignon Merlot, but just to round it up. So our cuvée is based on St. Clau and then Zweigelt and just 10 or 20% of Cabernet Merlot in the blend.
Mm-hmm. So those are the ones that perhaps could have that placement in,
in
the steakhouse. And tell me about the dinner that you're doing in Boston. You know anything about it, or are you just getting thrown into it?
I not so much. I just know that there are, I think, 6 wine growers there, and each of them have just 1 or 2 wines, and we have 4 wine there, 4 wines there at this dinner. That's why I'm quite proud about that.
Uh-huh.
And it should be a great dinner with good people.
Doing a pairing with the wines.
Exactly. Talk together, eat together, talk about the wines, represent our wines, and for sure have fun later on.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, I have to say, I've been to Vienna before, and I was really impressed with just the overall, and in the countryside, the overall service from a wine perspective. People really utilizing, you know, professional service, even from a guest house in the mountains to the city, and the glassware, and, you know, just the selection was really impressive. So I'd say that, from my idea, it's one of the regions in the world where you take quite a bit of pride in what you do. So it's exemplary in the wines as well.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you for that.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for your time and for joining. Wish you the best of luck on the tour, and hopefully the weather out west gets nicer than it is here in New York.
For sure. We will see, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.